from John chapter 3, verses 1 to 21. Now, if you'd like to follow us in the church Bible, you can find it on page 811.
There was a man named Nicodemus, a Jewish religious leader who was a Pharisee. After dark one evening, he came to speak with Jesus. "Rabbi," he said, "we all know that God has sent you to teach us. Your miraculous signs are evidence that God is with you." Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth. Unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God." "What do you mean?" exclaimed Nicodemus. "How can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again?" Jesus replied, "I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. Humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. So don't be surprised when I say, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it wants. Just as you can hear the wind, but can't tell where it comes from or where it is going, so you can't explain how people are born of the Spirit." "How are these things possible?" asked Nicodemus. Jesus replied, "You are a respected Jewish teacher, and yet you don't understand these things. I assure you, we tell you what we know and have seen, and yet you won't believe our testimony. But if you don't believe me when I tell you about earthly things, how can you possibly believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ever gone to heaven and returned, but the Son of Man has come down from heaven. And as Moses lifted up the bronze snake on a pole in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. For God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. There is no judgment against anyone who believes in him, but anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged for not being in God's one and only Son. And the judgment is based on this fact: God's light came into the world, but people loved the darkness more than the light, for their actions were evil. All who do evil hate the light and refuse to go near it, for their sins will be exposed. But those who do what is right come into the light so that others can see they are doing what God wants."
Thank you, Stephen. Well, there might be one or two here who haven't heard that before, but if you've ever been anywhere near a church, I guess it'll be quite a familiar reading. But let's just pretend to ourselves, if we've heard it before, just for 5 minutes or so, that this is the first time that this has ever been read. You know, just a couple of minutes ago is the first time you saw it or heard it when Stephen read it to us. So let's just run through it again. So there was a man named Nicodemus. Now, Nicodemus was an important man, and he had a bit of a mixed background. He was a Jew who was really serious about his faith, and he knew the Bible very well. But he obviously came from a family who had Greek influences, because his name is Greek, not Jewish. And we read that old Nico came after dark. Very mysterious, isn't it, coming after dark? Was he frightened? Was he bothered about what other people were going to be thinking? Thinking, "Oh, this Jesus, why, it's quite important, but don't know, what are my mates going to think?" Sometimes we're a bit like that ourselves, aren't we? Sometimes we do that with Jesus. We try and keep him as our little secret. Well, maybe old Nico wasn't doing that. Maybe he just wanted a bit of quality time with Jesus. Now think about that. Maybe he wasn't coming after dark because he was frightened, because he was afraid, because he was embarrassed. But maybe he thought, well, after dark, there are less people around. I'm going to get more time with Jesus. Wow, I want more time with Jesus. I wonder, how much quality time do you get with Jesus? How much? How much do you go out of your way to spend time with him? How much do other things become more important? How much do you ask him to deal with those things that are rattling around in your head and in your heart? Anyway, back to Nicodemus. Rabbi, he said. Now, for a high-up religious man to call a carpenter half his age rabbi shows just how much he respects Jesus. You know, he's not being sarcastic. He's serious. He's looking up to Jesus. Rabbi. And this man, Nicodemus, is quite something. He respects Jesus. We all know that God has sent you to teach us, he says. Your miraculous signs are evidence that God is with you. Well, maybe Nicodemus and a few of his Pharisee mates, maybe they've started to see the light. We all know God's with you. It's obvious, he says. We've seen it. Maybe they've started to see the light. But I bet he wasn't expecting the kind of weird answer that we got from Jesus. Unless you're born again, you can't see the kingdom of God. What a weird answer. What do you mean, exclaimed Nicodemus? How can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again? Are you barking? What do you mean? Nicodemus hasn't got it, has he? And you know, there are plenty of people today who will seriously ask, are you one of those born again Christians? Or are you just one of the normal type? Yeah, they ask almost as if it's kind of grade of coffee you can have. You know, are you a cappuccino or are you Americano? Are you instant? Well, there's one kind of Christian. One kind of Christian. Jesus' answer is what ours should be. His answer is, unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. If you're a Christian, you're born again. If you're not born again, you're not a Christian. It's not as freaky as it sounds, as we'll find out. But our answer should be the same. Something along the lines of, look, if you're not a born-again Christian, then you're not a Christian. I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. Humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. So don't be surprised. Don't be surprised, says Jesus, when I say you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it wants. Just as you can hear the wind, but can't tell where it comes from or where it's going. So now you can't explain how people are born of the Spirit. Now Nicodemus should have listened to this, and he should have thought back. He should have thought back to Ezekiel. He knows the Old Testament. I know we haven't done Ezekiel yet, so maybe you'll forgive me. When we come to Ezekiel, it'll make more sense. If you're familiar with it, then you'll understand. Jesus was pointing him back to things that he knew Nicodemus understood. He probably knew it back to front. And I guess at this point, Nicodemus is feeling a bit of a twit. You know, the old cogs are turning around and there's a furrowed brow. And he's thinking, well, what's going on here? Everything's going around in his head, but he's not getting it. How are these things possible, he asked. I'm not getting it. How are these things possible? Jesus replied, look, you're a respected Jewish leader. And you're still not getting it, are you? It's almost as if Jesus were looking at Nicodemus, looking him straight in the eye and saying, come on, Nico, you studied the Bible. Think about what Ezekiel had to say. Come on, you know. You know your Bible inside out. You've seen me. You've heard me. And deep in your heart, you know that decent and clever as you are, you need saving from yourself. I know you, Nicodemus, and I know that you know you. He could say that to each one of us, I think, because we know ourselves, don't we? We know the bad bits as well as the facade we've got. But he's saying, look, you need saving from yourself. You need to be saved from the person you are and be transformed into the person that I made you to be. And that, my friend, can only happen if you believe in me and trust that I am the Messiah that you suspect I am. You see, that's the point. Nicodemus was thinking, I think this bloke's the Messiah. That's why he went. And Jesus is saying, look, trust that I am the person you expect me to be. You see, Nicodemus, then you'll be born again. And if until now you've never really got hold of what Jesus is saying here, then why don't you try taking Nicodemus's name out of that and putting yours in? Because God is saying the same to you today. Jesus went on, but if you don't believe me when I tell you about earthly things, how can you possibly believe me if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ever gone to heaven and returned, but the Son of Man has come down from heaven. And as Moses lifted up the bronze snake on a pole in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. Talking about his crucifixion there that's going to be coming. So that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. Everyone who believes in him will be born again. And you know, Nicodemus did eventually get it. We know that because we see later on that he's taking huge risks. He's standing up as a believer and taking huge risks, and he's spending huge amounts of money as well. He stands up at the crucifixion. We know that he understood how Jesus came to pay the price that he could never pay. He was a rich man, Nicodemus. He couldn't afford heaven. He couldn't buy it. He was a bright man. He wasn't bright enough. That's not going to do it. He was probably quite a kind man, but that wouldn't do it either. He understood that nothing other than Jesus taking the pain and punishment that we deserve for being rebellious is going to get him or us into heaven. He understood that. He understood that neither his parents' or his grandparents' faith, nor his years of studying, nor his being nice, kind bloke, nor his working hard to help other people out, nor his position in the ruling council, because he was quite a high up bod, nor the amount of cash that he chucked into the coffers in the temple, nor, well, I could go on and on and on, and if you come here regularly, you know that I do occasionally, but I could go on, but I sense you're getting the picture. Nothing that he could do, nothing that he was of himself, nothing that other people could do for him except Jesus. Nothing was going to do what was needed. God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. And you know, it would be great to spend a few more minutes looking at the last few verses of our reading, but time is ticking on. And I want us to spend a bit of time in worship and in prayer thinking about the fact that God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. But as we stop at this amazing statement of Jesus, and as we see that through it, Nicodemus got it. It took him a while. It might have taken him a while, but he got it. Finally, Nicodemus understood that our God isn't into religion. Because religion isn't good enough. You see, religion is a human thing. God isn't into religion at all. Maybe you think it's a strange thing for a church to believe. But it's not. Religion is not something which God is into. Now, what Nicodemus discovered was that God is into relationships. God's into relationships. God's into faith in him. Relationships. When God created everything out of nothing, which he did it because he wanted to share his love. That's why he did it. He did it because he wanted to share his love. But early on, it all went pear-shaped. I know some people say it's an apple, but I think it all went a bit more than pear-shaped. And the whole amazing story of God's perfect plan of how to put it right and how he's going to put it right and is putting it right is told for us from beginning, not to end, but from beginning to new beginning in the Bible. And this verse sums it up. It sums up what God was willing to do to have that relationship with Nicodemus, to have that relationship with you, to have a relationship with me. He did it so that we could be spiritually born again, because that was the only way. There's no other way to heaven. We can't make promises for each other. We can only have relationships with Jesus for ourselves. Nothing else is good enough. And so Nicodemus understood that he was faced with a choice. He understood he'd got to make a choice. Heaven or hell? That's the choice he was faced with. Same choice we're all faced with. An eternity of love, an eternity of wonder, an eternity of the God of love, or an eternity without all of those things. Now Nicodemus, he chose to follow Jesus. How about you? Let's pray. Well, God, we heard right at the beginning of our service that you promised to take away those stony, tough old hearts and give us hearts that were pumping with love supplied by you. You promised that you would do what we could never do because you love us. You made promises to the nation of Israel that you will keep and have kept. You made promises to individual believers that you will keep and have kept. We can look back in our own lives and see, if we look, the things that you have done. And we should look forward and believe in you for the things that you will do, for your glory and for our blessing, that your love would be more and more obvious in the way that we live, in the way that we behave, in our lives, in our attitudes, in our sharing and caring for one another. And Lord, I pray for the wider friends and relations of Tilly's, that love will be evident in their lives, so that Tilly may have an amazing resource to draw on. I would pray, Lord, for our church here, that we would be nothing other than people who have Jesus right at the centre, who would not look to anything that we can't understand or don't need to understand, but look simply to Jesus. Not be arrogant or proud, but be people who would trust in Jesus and be shown the things we need to know and accept those things that we'd love to know but won't this side of eternity. Lord, help us always in all things, though, to be fully aware that you love the world so much that you gave everything for us. We deserve nothing, and in your love, you gave everything. Lord, bless us now as we worship you. In Jesus' name, amen.